Welcome to AOC Key Solutions Keys to Winning, where we talk about government contracting topics such as business development, win strategies, tips for managing proposals, and more. Keys to Winning, produced by the KSI Business Development Institute, gives you a chance to learn from leaders and experts in their fields. I'm Raymond Thibodeau, today's host of Keys to Winning. In this episode, we talk to KSI's president and CEO, Richard Nathan, on the variables of teaming arrangements, what he calls a kind of mating dance. We also check in with Shelby Rudd, VP of Operations at KSI, for our Ask an Expert segment on hiring just the right amount of proposal talent. Then we return to the Tao of Jim, where Jim McCarthy, KSI's principal owner and technical director, offers kernels of proposal wisdom gained from his long career in the federal marketplace. All right, this is good. Let's get started. Hi, Richard. In the federal contracting community, there seems to be a trend toward indefinite quantity, indefinite delivery, or IDIQ types of procurements. Does this put more pressure on companies to team?
Yes, that's correct. On the IDIQs, what the government is generally looking for is a small number of one-stop shops where they can buy their services or goods that they're looking for. And the scopes of work tend to be so broad that very few companies can deal with all the elements of the SOW by themselves. So in order to maximize their chance of winning individual task orders, they need to make sure that they have companies on their team that can help them cover this scope of work.
What have you found to be the most common reasons for teaming?
Well, beyond the scope of work coverage, they need to fill gaps in the notional winner profile, which is the compilation of the wants, needs, and biases of the ideal offerer. And beyond that, they need to meet their small business quotas. And sometimes they even team with competitors that they want to take off the street, essentially.
In putting together a team, what process would you use to evaluate whether a potential teammate would be useful?
Well, generally, I'd advise primes to be proactive in picking their teammates based on the various criteria I talked about earlier, but particularly the notional winner profile. But if a prime is approached by a company who wants to be on the team, what you really need to determine is how they're going to add points to your score. So rather than have them come in and give a generic, this is what we do presentation, have them come in and give a very targeted presentation for this procurement about how they're going to get you points in the ultimate scoring.
This comes up from time to time. Some teammates, maybe a niche subcontractor, aren't exactly active in the proposal process. Is that a red flag?
Well, clearly you want your subcontractors to support you in the proposal, but there are some who just want a free ride. There's no doubt about it. So you have to decide whether or not giving them that free ride during the proposal is justified by the extra points they get you in the evaluation or the unique capabilities that they might bring to the team.
I've noticed that in some teaming situations, the teaming subcontractors aren't exclusive to one team, which leads to a little bit of poker around the room when it comes to daily progress or stand-up meetings. A prime doesn't want to expose its own deficiencies or gaps or progress to teammates that aren't exclusive.
That's a really sensitive point, but generally my rule of thumb is if you're not exclusive, you don't come to the stand-ups. And I'm not going to allow you in the proposal area. Now, if the subcontractor is a company that you trust, you've worked with them before, you know the top management, you know the culture, I might mitigate that by putting a non-disclosure in place and a clear definition of a firewall between the person or people helping on my proposal and the rest of the company to ensure that information doesn't flow in the wrong direction.
Thank you, Richard.
You're very welcome. Glad to be here.
Shelby Rudd is a seasoned proposal manager and VP of operations at KSI. We went to her with a recent question from a small business owner interested in hiring consultants to help her bid a federal contract, but she's on a tight budget. First of all, Shelby Rudd, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Say you own a small business and you want to bid this project. Let's say it's a fairly small $5 million project. Mm-hmm. It's 120 pages with the typical technical management, past performance, and resume sections, and you're looking to bring on hired hands. As a small business owner, what do you consider the least amount of personnel you'd want to hire on?
What I'd probably like to do and budget for as the owner of a small business would be to see if we could assign one person to each major volume or one person to each major section, along with the proposal manager, and then look to see where we could save, you know, if there's a past performance and an experience section to combine those two. If there are two separate, you know, say we could combine a management and a security, and really see where we could save by double hatting writers or double hatting the proposal manager and a writer.
So the proposal manager would also be able to maybe put together resumes.
Right. It depends on the complexity of the proposal and the size of the team.
I've noticed what on some projects seem to be red flags. If you see the proposal manager working on past performance, it's usually not a good sign. Then again, there's this difficult balance. You want to save the client's money, but at the same time, you want to make sure all your bases are covered.
As a proposal manager, I like to look at a proposal as a project and lay out my schedule and see, you know, I need one resource here, but less as the proposal went on. So say you could start before Pink Team with two or three writers. After Pink Team, if you've got the proposal in a good place, if everything has gone to plan, you could staff down or stand down one of your writers maybe to half time in between Pink and Red. And we try to provide that service where we can. Throwing more resources at a proposal often doesn't help, it can only hurt. More people can cause disorganization, people tripping over each other's responsibilities, and it can really damage both the budget and the proposal effort.
Shelby, thanks for being on the Ask an Expert section, and I hope that we get a chance to have you back on the show. It's good to get your comments on some of these questions that we're getting from the listeners, so I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me.
And that's the cue for the Tao of Jim, where we take a kernel of proposal wisdom from Jim McCarthy's intra-office postings, and we ask him to unpack it. Today, the talk is about sound and fury. You say the results of a review team are inversely proportional to its sound and fury. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that the more worked up and excited and apprehensive that the red team or the review team gets, the less value it is to the writing team. So that essentially what I'm saying is that the if a red team sits down and does their work, actually reads the RFP, and that's an earth-shaking development, but actually reads the RFP, and then actually diligently sits down and reads the proposal and writes comments and suggestions, that's hard work. Nobody wants to do that. It's easier, by the way, to walk into a room full of other executives and then trade war stories for 30 years. Well, back when we did this, we did that, and it's this way, and all that stuff. But it masquerades as working. It masquerades as being valuable or assistance to the writers. But in fact, if it ain't on paper, then it's really just kind of like lost in the vapor. It's nothing. There's no help to it. What I suggest we do, and in fact, that's how we do it in our process, is we separate the reviewers and we tell them to put their head down and work. We're not interested in war stories, and we're not interested in the way it was back then. What we're interested in is actionable, constructive suggestions that make this text better. And if you're going to get them implemented into this proposal, we got to have them in writing. And that's why I say the more noise is generated, the more time we get the pontificating and the posturing and the positioning from a review team, the less likely it is that their content is actually going to find its way into the proposal.
As always, thank you, Jim. I'm Raymond Thibodeau, and this has been Keys to Winning from AOC Key Solutions Incorporated, or KSI, a consulting firm that has helped companies across the country win billions of dollars in federal contracts. To learn more, visit us at www.aockeysolutions.com or follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Keys to Winning is a production of KSI's Business Development Institute. Thank you for listening.